Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Philippian church. And I've mentioned many, many times from the pulpit that I feel like this is Paul's favorite church. He opens up his heart. He has such a warm feeling for these people, even though they're dealing with a church problem. He deals with it gently and in a beautiful way. Our text this morning comes from the third chapter, beginning to read with verse 7 and continuing through verse 14. Let us hear God's word for our hearts this morning. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And may God bless this reading and this hearing of His word. Let's bow as we pray and ask His blessing. Father, open our hearts in this new year to what You would have us be in our relationship with You and in our relationship with others. Lord, as we open Your word, we pray that we may know the ministry of Your Holy Spirit, speaking not only to our minds and our hearts, but to our souls. Forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for there are many, and point us to Jesus Christ and to Him alone. For we make our prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. Here we are, fresh out of the gate of the new year, and already many of us are weighed down with a lot of things, encumbrances. Christmas bills yet to be paid, pounds to lose, decorations to be put aside. We still have a couple of those yet to do. Income tax to prepare, so many things that distract us from the real purpose of living and the source of joy that God wants us to have in this new year. You know, when I begin to feel frustrated, I look for a mentor. And Scott and I were discussing it as they came in. One of my mentors, R.C. Sproul, has gone to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege when I was a young man of having a pastor who encouraged the young men and the young women in the church to look for mentors to pattern their lives after. And I remember reading Borden of Yale, C.T. Studd, Jim Elliot, and The Shadow of the Almighty, and others like that. But I looked for a mentor, a hero, a model, outstanding, and someone who's single-minded. And if there was ever a person in all of the Scriptures, it would be the Apostle Paul. Paul deserves that title. He talks in our text this morning about what for him has become the most compelling, the most absorbing, the most rewarding thing for which to live. And when Paul speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton, that ad, when Paul speaks, we need to listen. Listen to him as he says, one thing I do. And when the Apostle Paul says there's something like that, I want to know what it is. If this man, with all of his experience, all of his knowledge, all of his precision, all of his extraordinary experience through which he's passed, if he can say, there is one thing that is pressing on my life. The two things that I want us to remember from this text, very simply, take two words from it. First of all, forgetting, and then focusing. Forgetting in verse 13. Paul writes, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. That's good news for the beginning of this new year, forgetting. But it's uncharacteristic. It's unusual for Paul to use this word because throughout his ministry and throughout his writings, he's telling us, I want to remind you of something. I want you to remember something. I want you to put this down. I want this to be in your memory. And forgetting is not a word that he uses often. This is a word from a man who tells us as we came to the Lord's table several Sundays ago, do this in remembrance of him, of Christ. So when Paul says, forgetting what is behind, he can't mean you've got to forget everything in your past. None of us can do that. What's the focus here? Let me put it in very personal terms. As you look back over this past year, what is it that you need to forget, to put behind you? It's worth taking a moment, I think, for us to consider this question. You might, for example, say something like this. I need to be free from the memory of what was done to me. I need to be free from what happened to me this past year. One of the ministries that I am putting aside this year, apart from my pastoral ministry in the church, and I'm sure it will extend to the community as well, but is the counseling center that I have been a part of for the last 20 years. And I've come to realize through working with people that many people in our community suffer enormously. And many of them from things that have happened in their past that go on controlling their lives. Many have depressing memories from childhood that hang over their head like a dark cloud. And you may identify with that because all of us have those things. Several years ago, I was watching on the History Channel a television documentary of, and I can't remember the country. It was one of the countries that was a part of the Soviet Union. But these farmers were testing the prowess of their workhorses. And they had them hitched to wagons that were filled with logs. But then they would break or they would jam the wheels so that these horses would have an enormous straining on them. And the workmen would beat them with whips, and there were one or two that fell, and they just shot them on the spot. And as I watched that, I thought of the many people through the years that I have counseled that live their life harnessed to something that is holding them back from living the life that God intends them to live. One of the wonderful things, and Scott, you can identify with this, about being a pastor is that the privilege that people open up to you and share their hearts, their lives, their pains, their hurts. And it's a tremendous privilege, and I've not taken it lightly. But I've seen so many people that are just held back by things that were done to them by parents, by brothers, sisters. Even in the nursing home this past week, I had a lady who was in her 80s share with me how from a young girl at age 6, she was molested by her father. And this has held her back all of her life. They're harnessed to the past, to abuses, to things that they've just never been able to get away from. And Paul certainly could have looked at his life and remembered people like that. I mentioned that Philippians was, in my opinion, his favorite church, but he was in prison in Rome, and he was largely forgotten. But the church in Philippi did send someone to minister to him. But he had a difficult relationship with a church in Corinth. And he sought to be open and honest with them, but felt that they were not with him. Even as he writes to the Philippians, he's thinking of those false ministers who are out there preaching something other than the gospel. In Galatians, many of the people had turned to false teachers. He had every reason to look back on his past and feel that he had suffered from the hands of others. But the great thing about this man, about Paul, though he's not trapped by these memories, how did he break free? And there may be some of us this morning, how do I break free from these things, from this rotten background that I have, from this marriage that went sour, from things in my childhood, from this abuse? I want to be free. How do I do it? How do I get free? I want to forget. But how do I forget? What's the key to forgiveness? First of all, it's confronting, if it's possible. And one of the things that is very prevalent right now is the Me Too movement. And I commend those who have been sexually abused for speaking out and trying to deal with that so they can put that which has hobbled many of their lives behind them. If it's not possible to confront and to deal with and to find resolution, it's to put it under the grace, the sufficient grace of Jesus Christ. We are scarred people. We are not perfect until we get to heaven, and we'll know our wholeness there. Forget what's been done to you. But you may be saying, Pastor, I've got something worse than that. I have to forget what I've done to other people. I want to forget things that I've done. Not one of us here this morning can look back over the past year and say, I've done nothing that has hurt another person. All of us have hurt other people. But let me ask you this. When you realize that, have you confessed that sin to God? A lot of times people who are racked by what they've done in the past say, when you tell them, have you forgotten, or have you asked for forgiveness for this? They'll say, Pastor, I do it 100 times every day. I've done it for the last 5 years. If with genuine repentance we have confessed our sins, it's forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's one other thing, and that is forget the memory of the good that you may have done, and you're looking to that for your right standing before God. Listen to what Paul writes in verses 4 through 8. He says, I have every reason for confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legal righteousness, I was faultless. Paul says, look at my pedigree. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I've sat under the feet of at the feet of Gamaliel. I have every right to feel proud about my righteousness. But he knows that the righteousness that we have is not the righteousness that gets us to heaven. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us and received by faith. You know, I had a person in our county that used to tell me every time I would see them, "Laurie, I see Jesus in you." And that would always bother me. It was meant as a genuine compliment. And she's no longer living in our community. But I would say, don't look at me like that, because if you look at me as Jesus, I'm going to let you down somewhere along the way. I've got feet of clay. I don't rest on my laurels or on my good deeds. Paul was self-aware. He wasn't self-absorbed, and he wasn't self-centered. He knew where the glory was deserved. And he could say, "There is a crown of righteousness for me. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." He knew that. He was self-aware that his life is your life and my life is dependent on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Friends, the message this morning is forgetting. Be free. Look at what has been done for you in Jesus Christ. But there's another word that I'd like for us to remember here, and that's the word focus. And I'll just mention it very briefly. Paul writes in verses 13 and 14, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." It's following Jesus Christ to the end of our lives. He uses the metaphor of a race. It's costly. It's all-consuming. And folks, if we aren't really committed to Jesus Christ with all that we are in this new year, it's like decaffeinated coffee. It's not the real stuff. It's tepid Christianity. The goal is maturity. And none of us are going to get there until we get to heaven. And that's what Paul is saying. God is calling me heavenward. And he could write to Timothy, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award not only me, but all of those who have looked for his coming." Focus on what's ahead. The glory of heaven awaits us as believers. Let's bow as we pray. Father, as we do begin this new year, we pray that it may be with a new intensity in our spiritual lives, that we would be harnessed to your grace made known to us in Jesus Christ, that we would be known as people of grace. Lord, we pray for one another, that we would help one another to walk this life, to run this race, to finish the course with faith. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for the benediction? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day, till Jesus comes again, and even forevermore. Amen.